strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking, it was done.
You're listening to the Green Pastures with Jesus podcast, the audio home of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church, located in lovely Fairmont, Minnesota. You found your daily home for a few minutes with Jesus, including a Monday and Thursday in-depth study podcast and the occasional Saturday bonus episode. I'm your host, Pastor Peter Hagen. Today we've got our daily Bible reading, so take a deep breath and let's hear what God has to say. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, you divide the day from the night. Drive far from us all wrong desires. Incline our hearts to keep your law, and guide our feet in the way of peace. And having done your will with cheerfulness while it is day, grant that, when evening comes, we may rejoice in giving you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's Bible reading comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel, indeed. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. This is the word of our God. This chapter, particularly the focus here, is that the truth leads to life, and that the truth is true even when people desert the truth. That's kind of the point of the hymn that Paul quotes in verses 11 and 12 and 13. If we died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. Those two hymn verses kind of talking about the endurance of the faith and bearing the cross with Christ. Then the warning: if we disown him, he will also disown us. That those who walk away from the faith and turn their back on Christ, Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But verse 13, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And I personally think where that verse is going is that even those who have turned their back on the Lord have had their sin declared forgiven in Jesus. That he has been faithful, and he has fulfilled every aspect of God's law, and he has washed away, or God has declared forgiven, every sin of every person ever. But those who are faithless, those who turn their back on Christ, those who are unbelievers, they forsake that forgiveness. They say, no thanks. They lose out on all the benefits that Jesus Christ has won. If they are faithless, Christ remains faithful. The forgiveness is still there. And the forgiveness is still will be theirs if they repent and return to the truth. That's the whole point that Paul is trying to safeguard here. That he wants Timothy to make sure to train people and teach people and to train pastors who will hold to the truth and who won't get caught up in silly little debates or who won't lose their temper or hold a grudge, but rather people who hold out the truth. And if you know it's the truth, there's no reason to, you know, get your knickers in a knot, so to speak. There's no reason to hold a grudge or be resentful if somebody says, no thanks, I'm good. They might not be good, you know? The only way to be good in God's eyes is to stand in faith and to be declared perfect in Jesus Christ. But if somebody, you know, after persistent work with them, after elder visits, after congregational warnings, and somebody says, nope, leave me alone, they are faithless. The truth hasn't changed. And so we who hold out the truth and who hold on to the truth, we're emotionally involved, but the truth of Jesus Christ even governs our emotions, where we might mourn for those who have walked away from Christ, but at the same time, we hold to the truth, and we hold out this truth that Jesus is still for you. Repent and return. And so that's, with that kind of idea in mind, that's the basic gist of this chapter. That Timothy can only train and train up faithful men after him if he himself is faithful, and if he is ready to endure hardships and toil with a soldier's single-minded loyalty, right? Or an athlete's self-discipline, or a farmer's strenuous work. That's what Paul talks about in verses 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. The idea or the picture of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. That this single-minded purpose can only be done with the strength found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That resurrection, literal, physical, bodily, historical resurrection, gave Paul the courage to suffer imprisonment and disgrace and eventually be executed for his faith. But, you know, as he said back in the book of Philippians, what is that to me? If I die, I will be with Christ face to face in glory. So Paul is telling Timothy to continue to work and suffer in that faith. That faith that says, sharing in the sufferings of Christ now, as, you know, brought on by the faith that I share, by the faith of Jesus Christ, the faithful one, while the suffering that I suffer for the sake of Christ is worth every bit of what Christ has promised in glory forever. And then we've got, in verses 11 to 13, we've got the quote of the, or the quotation of that ancient song, most likely. It's kind of set apart in your paper Bible, because there's just a bit of parallelism and rhythm to it. It may have been like a liturgical song, like the Te Deum or the Venite, "Oh come, let us sing to the Lord," you know, like in Morning Praise, page 45. But then toward the end here, the last half of the verse, really verses 14 through 26, Timothy is told to keep on warning these faithful people against sinking to the level of their opponents as we defend the truth. The opponents love to spin tales and have disputes and debates about words, but the teacher of God, or the teacher in the church, or even a Christian, just a Christian layperson, isn't called to be a debater. You're called to be a witness, and there's a difference. A witness simply tells the truth of what he or she has known or seen or heard. The witness can do that work in the believing confidence that God's truth will not be overcome, that God will protect and vindicate his own. That's, you know, verse 19, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows who are his. That quotation comes from Exodus, I think it is, the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. When those men said, actually it's Numbers chapter 16, according to the footnote, those men said or wanted to be leaders in God's church and among the people. And Moses said, basically, the Lord knows who are his. And the idea there, the Lord will show whose are his. And not too much, you know, shortly after Moses said those words, the Lord will show who are his, or the Lord knows who are his, then the earth opened up and swallowed up those people who had rebelled against God. What a terrifying thought. But finally, Paul calls Timothy and tells Timothy to hold on to the truth of the resurrection, that that the resurrection is a, yes, is a one-time historical event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, but that at the end of time, there will be a literal physical resurrection of all people. All people will rise from the dead. Apparently, the false teaching here is that some people were saying that the resurrection was simply a spiritual thing and only a spiritual thing. Well, it is kind of a spiritual resurrection when you are brought from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. That's what it means to be brought to faith. But we don't deny the literal resurrection at the end of time. And so the connection very often when the resurrection is discussed, whether here or especially in 1 Corinthians, like chapter 6 and chapter 15, the point is that since your body will be raised at the end of time, that yes, it certainly does matter what you do in your body right now. That as a Christian, you take up the fight of faith and that you strive to serve God with all that you are and all that you do, whether publicly or privately, with, you know, your voice singing praises and not cursing, with your hands helping and not hurting, conducting yourself in an honorable fashion publicly and privately, because the reminder here is that this very body will stand before God in glory. And so the comfort, of course, perhaps, you know, Paul says here, flee the evil desires of youth. Perhaps you think back and there's a little bit of regret about things that you did or said. And yes, the comfort is that since Jesus rose from the dead, when you are raised from the dead at the end of time, then you also will have a purified and glorified body. But part of your, you know, Christian witness, Christian testimony as a witness, not as a debater. And part of your Christian witness is to say, yes, since I know I will be raised to life at the end of time, that means today it really does matter how I live and how I carry out my life in this body. Well, with that, Paul says, hold on to the truth. It's not going to change. You know your Savior. And you've been made a witness of this beautiful truth, forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, resurrection, spiritual resurrection when you were brought to faith, yes, but physical resurrection at the end of time. So much to look forward to, and so much comfort for every bit of pain or suffering today. God says, just wait till tomorrow. God bless your day.
Jerusalem, the golden.
Thanks for listening to Green Pastures with Jesus, the audio home of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church of Fairmont, Minnesota. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our website, www.shepherdofthelakes.net. Pass that along to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archives section at our website for previous podcasts. You can find us 9:30 a.m. Sunday mornings at 323 East 1st Street in Fairmont, just up the hill from Richard's Towing. Any questions, contact me, Pastor Hagen, 507-236-9572. God bless your day.
What bliss beyond compare.